First, Wisconsin is making headlines for a recent surge in COVID-19 cases, so looking at the data seems more relevant than ever. We've got a WisContext reporter joining us now with his latest story in a continuing series about understanding that data, where it's coming from, and what it means for the public. Will Cushman is the associate editor of WisContext. Will, welcome back.
Always happy to join you, Rob.
Well, we're going to talk, spend a lot of our time, Will, talking about confusing things about data in Wisconsin. But right now, it seems like we're getting pretty clear signals for the data, from the data. Cases are going up in the state over the last couple of weeks, right?
That's true. Yeah, just today, 2,745 new cases. And for the, I don't know, over a week or so, we've been hitting, actually over maybe 2 weeks, we've been hitting new highs in the 7-day averages for new cases. And right now that figure is at its highest ever level during the pandemic. And that's 2,440 cases on average per day in the last 7 days.
Now, you've been reporting on how data is shared by the state government, by local governments, and elsewhere when it comes to COVID-19. And it can be a little confusing. Can you break down who's providing the numbers, who's sharing what, that kind of thing?
Sure, yeah. So, and we've talked about this a little bit in the past, but in Wisconsin, a lot of the most comprehensive data is coming from the Department of Health Services. And they have daily data updates every day at 2 p.m., which they share on their COVID dashboard, for lack of a better word, on their website. But there's also a ton of data coming from local health departments. Not all local health departments in the state offer data publicly on their websites. There seems to be a number of departments that just don't have the resources to do that. But quite a number of departments do, especially departments in larger communities are sharing data. And that data is mostly coming through the Wisconsin Electronic Disease Surveillance System, or as people in the business call it, WEDS. And it's usually fed through from healthcare providers and lab technicians who upload the results of coronavirus tests to that system, and then it gets fed through that system to the State Department of Health Services and then onto local health departments, who then report it out publicly.
You write in your most recent piece that this system can be a little clunky for the people reporting, and that can lead to weird timing sometimes of the data. What did you find out?
Yeah. So, you mentioned timing, and we've talked about this in the past. So the time that local health departments and the state actually pull data from the system will affect the case numbers that they report day to day. But then also, I've talked to a number of health officers in the state, including some who have been fairly critical of the Electronic Disease Surveillance System, or WEDS. That includes Jeanette Kowalik. She's now the former health commissioner for the city of Milwaukee. She recently resigned just last month to take a position with a health policy think tank in D.C. But she called WEDS an archaic technology. And in fact, it does originate from the 90s. And she said that there are a number of problems with the WEDS system, in particular, or not necessarily problems with it day to day, but problems with its ability to handle the huge volume of testing that's occurring during the pandemic. The system was built to help track local outbreaks of foodborne illnesses and relatively rare diseases for the most part, and was not necessarily built to handle the huge volume of testing and test results that are being reported out every single day.
And it's tricky now because, for a variety of reasons, we want really up-to-date information, we being the public, and we want to know what's going on. But I imagine healthcare officials and others really want to know the latest data about what's going on in their area. Is there a concern that this electronic disease surveillance system isn't able to meet those needs?
Yeah, so right now, both Jeanette Kowalik in Milwaukee, and then Kirsten Johnson, who's a health officer for Washington and Ozaukee counties, both talked about something that's become an issue in a number of communities with the WED system, and that's that when negative test results get fed through the system to local health departments, those health departments don't have the ability to automatically tally those test results. Someone, an individual, has to go through all the test results that are reported and manually, it's called close them out. So they have to confirm them and close them out individually. And when there are sometimes hundreds or thousands of test results coming in every single day, especially with historically underfunded public health departments that are relatively short-staffed, especially right now, it's a huge task. And some health departments have struggled to keep up with tallying negative test results. And that's even affected things like the test positivity rates that local health departments will report. That was an issue in Dane County in July for a while. There was a backlog of negative test results arising from that issue.
Talking to Will Cushman, associate editor of WIS Context, about the data we keep and share in Wisconsin when it comes to COVID-19 testing and some roadblocks to the smooth flow of that data. Well, you mentioned the testing positivity rate, and then there's been a bit of a kerfluffle about that, about two different ways that we measure it. And the Wisconsin Department of Health Services unveiled, I guess, a second way to share that. Can you break down what's going on here?
Yeah, it can be a little confusing.
Yeah,
but yeah, there are multiple ways to calculate test positivity. One way is calculating it by dividing the number of people who test positive from the total number of people who are tested on any given day or in any given period. And then there's another common method where you're dividing the total number of positive tests from the total number of COVID-19 tests. And so the difference between people and tests is that rate is the calculated rate between those two methods has been diverging since over the summer, because so many people or a growing number of people have been receiving repeat tests. And the Department of Health Services, for the way that it was previously, the only way that it was previously calculating the rate, it was based on individuals, people, and not on total tests. So they added the second method for calculating the rate based on tests, and you can now see the difference in those numbers. And they have been diverging since about mid-June. But I think crucially, they follow the similar trends, and they're both trending upward quite a bit lately.
Yeah, but there's a legitimate argument for some value in doing that either way, doing it by people or by number of tests, right?
Right. Yeah. So the CDC does it by tests, and that's just a function of the data that CDC has access to. The CDC wants to be able to calculate kind of standard test positivity rates across the nation, and you can do that more easily by tests with more limited data, and calculating it by tests also can help local health departments better gauge how much testing is happening compared to their testing capacity.
And Will, some people have looked at this or other issues in Wisconsin and said, aha, public health officials are deliberately overstating the incidence of COVID-19. You also write about an incidence of a glitch in Iowa that led people to say, aha, the state is deliberately understating the incidence of COVID-19. Sometimes it's just a glitch is just a glitch, right?
Right. Sometimes a glitch like in Iowa is a glitch. In Iowa, it was a pretty bad glitch for a little while that was causing the state to underreport cases. And in Wisconsin, the kind of kerfuffle over the test positivity rates wasn't so much, it didn't have anything to do with a glitch. Mm-hmm. It just had to do with kind of maybe some disagreements over the best way to calculate it. But really, both of the ways that I just described, calculating it by people and by tests, are accepted methods. The CDC says so on its website, that you can calculate test positivity in multiple ways, and they're both valid.
And now DHS, as you said, is sharing it both ways now. And you quote some people from the Health Services Department as saying, we want to be as transparent as possible, even if that sometimes leads things to look confusing. How are we seeing that, at least a stated effort at transparency, playing out?
Yeah, no, I think it's a challenge when the State Department of Health Services and when local health agencies are releasing all this data, trying to be really transparent with it. But the data can be confusing for lay audiences, for people who are not experts in the field of epidemiology or related fields. And I think at this point, the folks I've talked to said that they're really leaning in the direction of transparency over not over or at the risk of causing some confusion, because they just want to put everything out there that they can and be as transparent as they can with the public, they say.
Well, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Thanks, Rob.
Will Cushman is the associate editor of WisContext. He talked about his latest reporting on interpreting the flood of data coming from Wisconsin's health organizations. You can look at the full story plus the charts at wiscontext.org.